sampled it from him, but it's not the same bass line.
You can get in serious trouble for copyright infringement.
You got an organ going.
Yeah? Copyright is not doing crap!
Copyright? What's copyright?
It's the
right
of the owners to control.
Right now!
You know what time it is.
Welcome to
the copyright.
It's better.
Welcome indeed. You're listening to CITR 101.9. This is the Copyright Experiment. We're live with Tim and Jeff. That's Tommy and DJ Mochi in the Vancouver based UBCJ's CITR studios. Oh, did I get it backwards?
Yeah, I got it backwards.
Well, Tim's autonomy. I'm Jeff, is DJ Mochi. Anyways, listening to us. And today we're going to talk about a sort of interesting little court case that happened involving the Beastie Boys and the. How would you describe Goldie Blocks?
They are a toy manufacturer for little girls.
they're more than that. They're like specifically aiming to empower girls and to go into engineering and science.
Exactly.
it's not just
Sorry about that.
No, I mean it's
they're unique in that they're trying to encourage girls to do things that girls aren't normally known for doing. They're breaking down gender stereotypes.
Which I'm all about that. But yeah, at the end of the day, they really are just a toy manufacturer, sort of. Anyways, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that they had this video that came out in November. Was it like mid-November, something like that?
Yeah, mid-November is released. We couldn't get the exact date for it, which we'll explain why in a minute.
And then, so this video involved a Beastie Boys sort of parody and remake. They remade the whole song and, they did something that they thought was in fair use.
Well, yeah. They created a video, and the track that they used for it was a parody of the BC Boys' song "Girls," with changed lyrics to better reflect their stance of empowering girls to do everything. And it was the backing track for this video that featured little girls making a fairly impressive Rube Goldberg machine to change the channel on their television.
Yeah, and we'll I'll play a little segment from the original one, which is not that.
That's not that. Okay.
Yeah, you kind of get the idea. You can listen to the whole thing if you can find it online. It's not that hard, actually.
Yeah.
But so this is a remake of the Beastie Boys song "Girls," which is as Goldie Blocks, the company, put it, the opposite of their sort of agenda.
Yeah, it's kind of derogatory, they're claiming.
Yeah. And so basically the Beastie Boys threatened a lawsuit against Goldie Blocks first. That was about a week after, or a week to 2 weeks after the video was posted.
Yeah, well, this is there's kind of different accounts here. It's very unclear who kind of did what, because each side is claiming things that the other one did.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened first was that Goldie Blocks claimed that the BC Boys legal team contacted them and threatened to sue for copyright infringement. And so they filed a countersuit to basically what they called a complaint for declaratory judgment and injunctive relief, which means that they want the judge to declare that it is actually fair use and keep them safe from a possible copyright infringement injunction, which would entail having them to take it down until it's settled.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to just be first to the cheese.
Yeah, so what they said in their actual legal document was they're looking for an order declaring that Goldie Blox does not infringe any valid copyright on the song, that the alleged use is under and protected by fair use, that the basically the copyright claims are not like something they have to worry about, and we're also asking for the fees and costs incurred in connection with making this legal document and having the court case.
Of course.
Yeah. So then it seems like Beastie Boys kind of spun this as they were being sued.
Yeah, they said they were being sued. I mean, it is a lawsuit.
Yeah.
But it's not being sued in the traditional kind of way. So there's kind of some doublespeak on both sides that isn't really, or some kind of misinformed opinions on what's actually happening. After the lawsuit was filed, the Beastie Boys gave an official statement about it, and they said that they actually like the ad and they support the message behind it and stuff like that, and it is creative and everything, but it is an advertisement for a company that's trying to sell products and it's commercial, and they vowed not to use any of their intellectual property in music, and that they were really just inquiring about the use of the song and they weren't actually threatening legal action. And then Goldie Blox sued Beastie Boys. So they're kind of claiming innocence here, saying they're also kind of curious about it.
The thing they said, which I think caught a lot of people's eyes, including mine, is what the Beastie Boys said is that you played our song and now you're trying to sue us.
Yeah.
Is what they said, which seems really like ridiculous. But when you read into it, it's not that ridiculous. And it's just them being defensive, and they didn't really sue the Beastie Boys directly.
A lawsuit is not a lawsuit is not a lawsuit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently these were the wishes of Adam Yauch, who passed away, member of the Beastie Boys.
Sorry, and the wishes were exactly that. He didn't want his music image or name or any artistic property created by him used for advertising purposes, and then he added on or any music or artistic property created by him. So basically just doesn't want his music or anything, you know, involving him used in advertising. And this,
which is fair.
Yeah. While it was a parody, it still was kind of using his stuff.
It is derivative work, right?
Yeah.
And, but the thing with parody is that it's allowed under fair use, even though it's derivative, because in order for a parody to, you know, create the connection to the original song, they have to take pretty significant elements from it.
Yeah.
So it necessarily has to have, you know, be infringing on the copyright, but the exception is because it's a parody that it should be covered under fair use.
Yeah, and so there's kind of two questions in my mind. There's the, is it fair use? You know, does the parody trump the commercial aspect of it? And also, how do you rule on Adam's, the Beastie Boys guy who's passed away and has the will, how do you basically take that into account and respect his wishes that it's not being used in a commercial sense? You know, is this clearly that, or is it a little different? So I guess those are kind of the two questions. At the end of the day, it didn't really end up mattering.
Yeah, so what happened at the end of November, so this is all in the span of like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Goldie Blox released a statement themselves saying that, oh, we're actually big fans of the Beastie Boys and we will respect the wishes of Adam, and that they removed the song, and they did remove the song, even though they still believe it's fair use. They wanted to articulate that, but they still withdrew the lawsuit. They took the song out and reposted the video.
Yeah. So in their mind, it was fair use, but not in the best wishes, or not in the wishes of Adam. So
right, so they respected his wishes, which is a little disappointing. Well, maybe not disappointing, but it's a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, I guess so. What we're going to talk about is what we think about the case if it had gone to court.
Right.
What does it fall under?
That's where the interesting parts
are. Yeah, because and that's what I was hoping for. You know, was a court case filled with juicy drama. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm of the opinion that it's not fair use, because I think the commercial aspect of it is too big when you have that many views for it to be considered fair use because it's a parody. So we're kind of disregarding the thing that Adam said where he didn't want it to be used.
Right. Yeah. So the question is now, you know, whether this song should be protected under fair use. And that we've talked about fair use in the past when we're talking about the Google Books lawsuit, which in which they won under a fair use defense. But there's a few components that we have to consider. And one that a lot of people would point to, which the Beastie Boys noted, is that it is a parody, but it's also a commercial advertisement for a commercial company that's trying to sell toys to a certain market. Yeah. So, I mean, indirectly, they are trying to make money off the parody. And this is something that kind of makes sense that may not be covered under fair use for parody. But actually, there's kind of a precedent that you can actually still make money off of parody. And back, actually, one of the earliest copyright cases was when Two Live Crew sampled a song from Roy Orbison's Pretty Woman. And they sampled a lot of the song and created a parody of it, their own kind of nasty version of Pretty Woman. And they actually were taken to court, and they won in defense of fair use because the judge ruled that even though they did make money off of it, it's still a parody, and parodies are protected under fair use.
Mm-hmm. I guess then my question would be, you know, how much of a potential impact on the market are we looking at?
Right, because that's another component of fair use, is whether the creation of the work is going to impact the market of the original.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I would actually only think it would produce positive, have a positive market impact for both sides.
Yeah, I think I have to agree.
Girls is a song that's been out for a long time. And really, I mean, it's still played on the radio and stuff, but people don't really think about it much more than that. And having something that brings that to mind that's actually totally different and has completely changed lyrics might actually reignite people's interest in the song.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's someone out there who said, oh, you know, I want to check out the song again. Where do I get it? Oh, let me buy it off iTunes or something.
Right.
So, I mean, it probably did help out a little bit. And, you know, like they say, any press is good press. So
mm-hmm.
I think true. It helps. And then also, you know, I guess it would really come down to the courts, the jury, and the judge's ruling on how significantly commercial it is and how transformative it is as a parody.
Right. Because, I mean, they recreated the backing track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they did use, like, the same instruments.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds basically the same, backing track.
Mm.
But, you know, they did recreate it, and they have totally different lyrics that are pretty much entirely different, and they got, you know, different people singing. They didn't really sample it at all.
Well, they're not entirely different because, I mean, it's keeping with the same.
Yeah,
style
insofar as it's a parody, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're entirely different in terms of their sort of direction that they go, which is sort of a component of fair use. So yeah, I guess after talking about this, I think I have to kind of agree that I think it'd be fair.
Yeah. It's to me, it seems like it's pretty clearly fair use, and there one component that people are writing about is that is being used for like a good message or a positive message, and that should be an argument for the fact that they should be able to use it.
Yeah.
But really, I think that's kind of a ridiculous argument.
Yeah, I mean it's nice, but it has nothing to do with fair use.
Right. Exactly.
It's nice use, but I mean like there's no nice use.
Sorry, yeah. Exactly. And it's not there's a thing. I mean, if you're saying that it's being used for a positive message or something, that's
totally subjective.
Yeah, it's totally subjective, and the whole point of copyright is that copyright holders can choose what things they will support with their music and how it's being used. So just because you think it's a positive message, it doesn't mean that the rights holder will also agree with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I could see being the Beastie Boys and feeling a little shitted on, you know? I mean, it's kind of...
I guess so, yeah. I don't think anybody's saying that their message, this message of empowering young women to be interested in things more than typical girl stuff is a bad message.
It's not pretty, at all.
It's pretty universally liked.
But I mean, it's making fun of, you know, the Beastie Boys to a certain degree. You know, I could see them taking it a little bit personally.
Right. Yeah. Because they're basically calling the original song like discriminatory towards women.
Exactly.
And stuff,
which I mean, I think it is, but
mm-hmm.
regardless.
Well, it is, but it's also knowingly being derogatory to women.
Yeah.
Which kind of is commenting on it, on the song itself in a metal.
Yeah,
way,
see, you wonder if it's
that's kind of
being
a
ironic or
different
something.
Topic yeah, for that's, another day.
That's not really copyright. That's something else.
Yeah, yes, artistic interpretation. We'll worry about that later.
All right. So I think that's about all we wanted to say about
one
that.
One thing I did want to add. Yeah. So the fact that Goldilocks really filed a lawsuit or just filed for injunctive relief really quickly, basically as soon as they heard from the Beastie Boys lawyers and claimed that they were threatening legal action, they just went for it right away, even though nothing had been filed against them initially. And I think this is really interesting. It's kind of bizarre from an outsider perspective that they would do that. But
why are they being so defensive?
Right, but it really makes sense when you think about the climate of, you know, copyright protection in music and how easily people have been able to win lawsuits and win settlements out of court for like the most minuscule samples being used.
Yeah.
And how the court cases, the decisions in the court cases have been so shaped by precedent and other civil cases that there's kind of a far disconnect from the original written use of the law. And so it becomes very unclear, you know, what part of other court cases may influence the judge's decision and what side they may decide on.
Yeah. So, I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, it's basically we're in a very, sort of, I guess, hostile copyright climate.
Yeah, you could say that.
I mean, people are really out. You know, if they see you making big bucks, they're going to jump on it if they're being sampled in it. They want a piece of that because, you know, the past has shown that you can get that.
Exactly. And it's funny because a lot of the cases, they're not even getting the money from, like, the judge's ruling. They're usually getting it from a settlement because artists just don't really want to go through that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge pain, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Hope I never have to go through that.
So that's our fair use redux, kind of going through fair use as a parody this time. The last time we talked about fair use was about substantiality of infringement and stuff like that. So today is about parody and what you can get away with in a parody, which is, in this case, it's a little unfortunate that Goldilocks kind of caved in. Because, in our perspective anyway, they were definitely in the right.
Yeah, and they agree as well. It would have been interesting to see what happened in the court. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get a judge in to interview sometime and ask him.
Yeah.
And a jury.
Perhaps.
Because they asked for a jury, right?
Yeah, they asked for
a jury.
So
we got to have that.
Yeah, a jury of our peers.
So, next time we get a jury in, we'll let you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we can fit it here in the studio.
Yeah.
Anyways, you're listening to CITR 101.9. This is the Copyright Experiment. We're going to play some ads, and then we'll get right back and play some tunes.
Modern Human is hosting a party to celebrate this new electronic experimental Vancouver record label. An evening of mind-expanding live performances from Common Vernacular, Kensington Gore, Plays 4, and The Passenger. Strange intermission music featuring cosmic beats, weird soundtracks, and dusty library music, all accompanied by images of pagan sacrifice and public information films. It all takes place on January the 31st, 2014, at the Red Gate, 855 East Hastings, and it costs $10. The ritual begins at 9.
Sprouts, you've ate here before. Community Eats is back for the summer.
We are your local food co-op.
We are your volunteer opportunity.
We are your meeting place.
We are your nutritious Friday lunch.
We are sustainability.
We are community.
Eats every Friday.
Come by with a reusable container, donate, and tell us what community means to you. Friday, 11:30 to 3 p.m. Food, fun, friends.
UBC Rec is everything that is rec.
Welcome back to the Copyright Experiment. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Copyright Experiment, where we just talked about Goldie Blocks and their lawsuit with Beastie Boys. Every week we talk about a different topic, so if you liked that one, tune in next week, and or you can check out all our old episodes on the blog at copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. And we also play all freely available music, which you're just about to hear pretty soon. So all the music that is freely available you can find on our blog as well. We got download links for any of the songs if you like it. And so yeah, check it out, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com, or just search for it. I'm not sure if we can search for it. Probably can. I don't know if you'll find it, but copyright.experiment.tumblr.com. Go there. How are you? Just about ready to get in the mix?
Yep.
DJ Mochi's ready. Sit back and relax. All free tunes coming at you. That was Neon Steve out of Victoria. Track called Up All Night. Having a little technical difficulties, I guess. Next track is Brandy remix. coming in here is DJ Mochi, original. Been putting out a lot lately. We'll be right back. track was Hammer Remix, One Thing, Polka Dot on the remix. Up next is the If For You remix of Disclosure. Who remixes it? Remixes by John Dalton. Usher remix is by the Lindsay Lohan. Makes really cool beats. Check him out on the blog. If you like any of those, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. Get all those tracks for free download. Coming up, we're going to take a quick break here, but coming up after the break, we're going to play a song by a child actor turned rapper from Canada. If you know who it is, then get excited. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
Get ready for the start of the biggest, bluest celebration yet. From January 20th to January 24th, you can come out to Science Week 2014, a five-day celebration of the best faculty at UBC. Come out to our awesome events, buy the latest science swag, represent your department in the science-wide games, and share your science pride all week long. Bring your friends, make some new ones, and bleed blue with the science student community. You won't want to miss out.
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What's this Pilate? He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Yep, Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Xenia!
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Yeah, tune to the Night Watch Show. It's cool. So we got a track coming in right now. If you guessed Drake, you're right. Child star turned actor. Or just child star turned rapper. This is a remix of Pound Cake by a guy named Thomas White.
All that other bullshit is here today and gone tomorrow.
Yeah. bitch, I need my own bank. If she got ass, tell her, make that ass clap.
Two big booty hoes, that's an ass trap. Live two white cups, I'm sipping lean, I'm pulled up. I love hoes, I hate sluts. See bad girl till I choose up. This pimping me is no sipping me. I live this shit, no TV. I'm whole green like DC. I ain't got love, just pay me.
This is a remix of Nightwave, produced from the UK by Big Dope Pete from France. Fun fact, that sample at the beginning about booty music, that's from Nardwuar's interview with Trina. Munchie on that track called Shout Out to MP. Saved remix, Nothing Can Come Between Us by Pomo from Montreal.
Come.
Hexadecibel remix coming in now, and a hissy fit. Where's his hissy fit from Montreal, right?
What?
Montreal. Yeah, hissy fit's from Montreal. Hexadecibel from Vancouver. Cool connection. Trash called Buried. Track is actually on All Fact Records, run by DJ Kier, another Vancouver guy, by way of Toronto. It's a cool label, check it out. Lots of other cool local Vancouver acts on it. Texas called Zan Anthem. And the same name remix coming up next.
Only have a bar sipping. 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 Girls on the floor. Girls on the floor. Girls on the floor. Girls on the floor.
Remix was by Chloe Martini. Really club edit. Say my name. This is going to be our last track for tonight. If you like any of them, make sure to check out the blog. Check out all the tracks on the blog. CopyrightExperiment.tumblr.com. All download links. Past episodes. Or just to say hi to us.
That's it.
See ya.